All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn. What's up?
What's up?
David just hit me with the dumbest question of the day. You think you heard the dumbest question of the day,
but no.
You did not.
Oh, my God.
Here it is, the dumbest question of the day. I sit down. David sits down. Penn, are you ready for this? I responded the only possible answer.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Now, normally when I say no, not at all, that means I didn't do my homework.
Yeah.
Or I'm somehow slacking or whatever. I did all my homework. I watched the movie. I watched the trailers.
Yeah.
I did the news. I'm up to speed. But this is the Penn Cinema Podcast.
It's kind of a big deal.
Anything could happen. As soon as you think you're ready, you're not ready.
You're not ready.
Right. So I sit down and David asks me, are you ready? No. Of course I'm not ready.
This is a two water bottle deal.
I'm ready. I mean,
you're not ready.
I got my drinks ready.
Okay. All right. All right. News this week.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about The Hunt?
Yeah.
We're like, what is this movie? Is it serious? Is it good? Is it bad?
Right.
Like, we were kind of confused.
Right.
It's not coming out anymore.
So here's what happened. It was kind of interesting because a couple days after the last podcast, I got an email from a customer who said, like, now it was interesting because the original email was very, is vitriolic a word?
If it is, I don't know the definition.
I think it means vitriol. Like,
okay.
It has almost like a very subtle flavor. I don't want to use the word hate. But it was almost like baiting. It was baiting for a fight,
sort of. Yeah.
I'm not trying to be mean because it was very respectful. I'm not trying to say it was inappropriate, but you could tell that it was polarizing. It was a little bit like it had a little flavor of accusatory nature, like, hey, you're not going to be one of those. Now, and again, I'm not using this person's words, but the message was like, you're not going to be one of those liberals showing The Hunt. Are you?
Oh, well, they don't know about the liberal podcast.
Right. So anyway, the guy, the essence of his email was, hey, this movie's coming out called The Hunt. And I think in today's day and age, it only adds to, you know, some of the unhappy feelings in our country. And I hope you consider, I think he said something like, I hope you think carefully before you agree to show this film.
Right.
So I wrote him back and I said, well, you got the guy. I'm the one who books the movies and I will take your concerns to heart and give it a look, which is true. I read his email and immediately Googled the movie. And what I found was a bunch of articles about how I guess the essence of the movie was the liberals are hunting the so-called deplorables. So it feels like it has an undercurrent of like anti-Trump to it.
Yeah.
Which... whatever. I mean, I'm not saying that's good or bad or indifferent. I'm just saying, like, I had not realized that. I didn't pick up on that from the trailer, but apparently people who were watching it more closely than you and me picked up on that because there was a variety of newspaper or various articles about this movie stirring controversy. So I sent an email to my guy at Universal, and I said, hey, just want to give you a heads up. I'm already taking grief from my customers about this movie, and I'm not saying I won't play it, but I'm saying, like, you know, there's some questions being raised in my community.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, 2 days later, this big announcement comes out saying, so apparently I wasn't the only person in the country, you know, getting grief from my customers about playing this movie.
Yeah, I think after the slew of shootings, too.
Yeah.
That also
100%
contributed to it.
Yeah.
So... And right on them for knowing that it's not right, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. I was shocked. I was really surprised that a big studio like Universal would have the guts to just take a – I mean, how much did they invest in this? $20 million, $50 million? I don't know what the number is, but a lot of money, and put it on a shelf. Good for them. Good call.
At the same time, I'm like, how much do they really think this is going to make?
You think they were saving the embarrassment? So you think it did more for the studio to look like good guys for pulling this film than it would have to release the film and let it flop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think now, wait a little bit, video on demand. And then recoup some of the money.
Yep.
People are like, I want to see this movie that caused us, it was so controversial that they pulled it. Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right.
So big news for Disney this week, right? Lion King beat out Frozen as the highest grossing animated film of all time. We're talking live action Lion King, which is somehow also an animated version of the Lion King.
Well, wait a minute. Back up just a second.
Yeah.
What part of the Lion King was live action?
Well, that's what they were touting it as.
Well, I got an insider scoop.
Yeah.
Okay. A member of my family, Amy's mom, who shall remain nameless.
It's so hard to figure out which one it is.
But her initials are BT.
Okay.
So she told Amy they use Photoshop to do Lion. Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah. So you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Photoshop. That shit wasn't real.
I can't even believe it.
Yeah.
On a more serious note.
More serious than that.
Well, I mean, I know.
David.
Did you see the deepfakes video of the Lion King?
No.
Where they used Photoshop inside deepfakes or whatever to make the lions look like the animated versions. It's pretty dope.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
So it's like animating.
So it was like the realistic bodies, but then the heads were more like the animated.
Oh, that's cool.
Heads. Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
All right. So good for Lion King.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Good for Disney.
I think the big question is, in November.
Does Frozen 2 knock it out?
Does Frozen 2 then leapfrog and become the new highest grossing animated feature? Which I predict yes.
Probably.
Yes. People are going to go crazy for Frozen 2.
Yeah. I mean, I've not seen the first one, and I'm like jazzed for Frozen 2.
Yeah.
All right, hit me with something.
All right, I got one for you.
Yeah.
Me and my girls.
Oh.
We love us some Friends.
Oh. Like friends you've known for a long time or like new friends or?
Friends we've known for like 25 years.
Oh, okay. So I haven't quite fit that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. So here's a funny story. I'm talking about the TV show Friends.
Oh, wow, and, not real people.
Right. Okay. And the headline is that Friends, in other words, Ross and Joey, Monica, they're all coming back to the – or they're not coming back. They're coming to the movie theater to celebrate their 25th anniversary.
Can you name them all?
I can. Ross, Joey, Chandler, Rachel, Monica, Phoebe, Phoebe's cat, Smelly Cat. Who am I missing?
I don't know.
Yeah. Gunther, the coffee boy.
Coffee guy. Yeah.
So here's the funny thing because I always – I'm not one – when I say something stupid – I don't mind. I'll own it. So here's one of the many. Let's go into the vault of stupid things Penn has said over the years. Here it is.
Yeah.
It would be 25 years ago this summer. I'm an intern at the Karen Foundation in Warnersville, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Amy comes up to visit me. We turn on the old television to tune into this new show that just came out called Friends.
Oh, my God.
We watch the pilot.
I know where this is going.
Penn says to Amy, that show will never make it. In his incredible wisdom.
25 years later.
25 years later, one of the most iconic TV shows of all time, which Penn loves, by the way, just so we're clear. I'm not trying to act like I didn't like it. I loved it. I watched every episode.
So what's this anniversary party?
So what they're doing is they're coming back to the theater three nights in September. I forget the exact dates, but it's like September 23rd, 28th, 29th. And they're playing something like that. And they're playing select – I think they're playing 12 total episodes or maybe it's – whatever. They're playing a bunch of episodes and they're picking like the best. So, for example, they're picking the pilot. They're picking the one with the blackout.
Whoa. 12 episodes?
Right.
That's 6 hours of content.
Split up over three nights.
Oh, okay. So it's not – so each night is different.
Right.
Okay,
right.
I wasn't following.
So the first night is a 2-hour deal.
It's not just the same thing over and over again.
Right. So it's three different nights with 12 different episodes spread over the course of the three nights. And they're having interviews with the cast, bloopers, outtakes, never seen before footage. So I think it's going to be cool. And if you're a Friends fan like me and Kayla and Marley and Amy, especially me and Kayla and Marley, although Amy's right there, then yeah. So I think that's big news. Yeah, we're excited.
Wow. They're also doing a Matrix.
Are they, though?
In a theater, though. I saw it was whatever anniversary of the Matrix back in the theater. And I was like, I don't know if I care.
Well, here's the thing with that. When you're as big as AMC, and you decide to do something.
Oh, so AMC is doing it.
Yeah. But, I mean, I could go pick up The Matrix and announce that I'm doing, but no newspaper in the country would cover Penn Cinema is doing a one-time only, blah, 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 you know.
You know what? You know what? Who would cover you?
The Penn Cinema podcast. What's up? Killing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Podcast at PennCinema.com. There you go.
Yeah. So Captain Marvel's Gemma Chan, she might pull double duty in the MCU.
Wait, is her name Gemma Chan or is her name Gemma Chan May?
Her name is Gemma Chan.
Okay.
I copied a title here, so every word is capitalized. Her name is Gemma Chan. She was, I don't remember what her name was, but she was one of the blue, she was the blue girl on her team that kind of hated Captain Marvel. Okay. Remember?
Uh-huh.
So she might pull double duty and play a character in the Eternals.
What's that mean, double duty?
It means that she'll play a different role.
She'll be in the Marvel Universe.
As two different characters.
As a different character.
Yeah. But as the blue girl, I mean, like...
Would she really be the first person to do that?
Well, I don't know if she's the first person. It's just that she may do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else has done it. I mean, well, Stan Lee's done it.
He doesn't count.
Yeah, he doesn't count. But yeah, I think... Who else would have... I don't know. But... I don't think that's big of a deal because she wears so much makeup as the blue girl. She wouldn't be recognizable as...
All the people who came out of the movie theater that saw Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And they were all talking about Captain Marvel. How much they loved it. Who their favorite character was. Not one single person walked out and said, oh my God, you know what? That blue girl. Blue girl number three. She was amazing.
Yeah.
Not once did anybody walk out and say to themselves, man, I got to see that blue girl in action again. I'm not saying anything against Gemma Chan May. I'm sure she was terrific as blue girl number three.
I'm pretty sure.
But what?
We were like, hey, she was pretty hot. After the movie. So, I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm not commenting on whether or not she was hot.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. I mean, she was mentioned after the movie. You know, no one said anything about her after the movie.
Okay.
It's not like she was forgotten.
I sit corrected.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
You dog. All right. Robert De Niro and Shia LaBeouf are teaming up for a film called After Exile.
Mm.
Are you aware of this?
I'm not.
Yeah, so me neither. We're going to talk about LaBeouf Cake's trailer for Honey Boy.
Yeah.
Which is, there's a lot to talk about there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it feels like him and De Niro are both, would you use the word comeback?
Well, De Niro, for sure. I thought he retired.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't done much except put on the that film festival in New York, the Tribeca Film Festival.
Oh, yeah.
And he's doing The Irishman.
Right.
On Netflix. So I think After Exile... It's sort of like there's not very much out there about it. It looks like it's sort of a crime drama.
You think it'll be video on demand?
No. I think it's going to go however Irishman goes.
Which Irishman's video on demand?
I think they're trying to put Irishman in Netflix. I think they're trying to get that into theaters. I know they're doing it at the Tribeca Film Festival, and I bet you they're going to screw me by trying to put it just in New York and L.A. and Dallas and Chicago and stuff. But... they're going to try to qualify it for the Oscars.
Because I've kept the Irishman trailer off our trailer reviews because all I've seen is it's straight to Netflix.
So you kept the Irishman trailer off of there, but you left Mary on there.
Yeah.
Because, we're going to have to talk about that.
Because
that little inconsistency right there.
It says both. The Irishman doesn't say both at the end.
I can't tell you how disheartened I am. by this development of The Irishman for two reasons. First of all, I take offense that they're not putting it in real theaters.
Right.
And second of all, I'm just crushed. I'm disappointed because I've been looking forward to this movie for years. I was one of the first people to, you know, like take notice of it, at least around here, and start telling everybody around here about this book. I loaned it to people. It's amazing.
Did they read it?
No. They don't read. People don't read books you give them.
Yeah, I'm learning.
You're learning. Yeah, they go, oh, that's fascinating, Penn. Thanks so much. This is really great. I'll get it back to you. A, they never read it. B, you never see the book again. Never loan anyone a book unless you're ready to let go of that book forever.
Yeah, that's what I'm learning.
Yeah. So I'm still excited for The Irishman. I'll definitely watch it.
Yeah.
But so my problem is, first of all, I'm taking offense. And then my second problem is, like, just to be completely candid with you, I'm having trouble finding out who's distributing Netflix movies. I got a lead on a guy, and I sent him an email, and the email came back, thank you for your email, I'm no longer with the company.
Wow.
So there goes that ship. It sailed.
No longer with the company.
Yeah. So anyway. Yeah.
All right.
LaBeefcake and De Niro, I think, are coming back.
Yeah.
Which, I'm fine with that. I always liked Shy. I know he got a little weird and he went off the rails a little bit. But I feel like he has worked through some stuff and he might be making a little bit of a comeback as a more mature, stable actor.
Right. I agree. Guillermo del Toro is doing a Pinocchio movie. Now, I wasn't able to find much out about this other than he was talking about how he thinks he views Pinocchio, his Pinocchio, more like a Frankenstein's monster type thing. I'm on board. Guillermo del Toro has done some amazing stuff. He's done some not good stuff.
Like what?
Well, his designs for The Hobbit, not so great. You know, Hellboy.
Oh, that's right. He did Hellboy. Did he do Hellboy 2?
Yeah.
All right. So there's your answer.
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro did some not great stuff. Like what? Like Hellboy 1 and 2.
Yeah. But Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, my God. Love that movie.
So good.
Beautiful.
If he does something along like that line with Pinocchio, whew, that could be crazy.
You had me at Guy.
Elmo. El del Toro. Yeah.
You had me at Elmo. Imagine if Guillermo del Toro did an Elmo movie.
Imagine if this Mind Christmas blown. The Tickle Me Guillermo del Toro was the big toy. Okay. Yeah. What do you got?
No, you tell me about Tarantino.
Okay, Quentin Tarantino, his 10th movie. He says it'll be horror. And he doesn't count Kill Bill 3 or the possibility of Star Trek as one of his 10.
I love this guy. This is the same kind of stupid shit I would pull if I was in his position.
Yeah. Oh, no. It doesn't count towards my 10.
No, that doesn't count.
Yeah. I made 10 great movies.
Right.
And then, like, 4 side projects. And then, like, 10 small films. Right. They weren't movies.
So what are we up to? So we have 9 legitimate movies. And then we're saying Kill Bill 3 is on the radar.
Right. And Kill Bill 1 and 2 are considered one film.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Right? So no, but I'm saying real people counting.
Oh, okay.
Like you and me counting.
Okay.
We have 9 done. Kill Bill 3 is on the radar. Tarantino or Star Trek's on the radar. And you're saying there's a horror movie.
Yeah.
Which would be an original type of thing?
Right.
Okay.
So
he's saying that would be his 10th movie.
Right.
Because the Star Trek thing doesn't count because it's not original. And Kill Bill 3 doesn't count.
It's part of a series.
But actually, if you're saying Kill Bill 1 and 2 also don't count.
They count as one.
That's what I mean. Then he's got room for one more. So he's got this horror movie. And then that leaves him, by his count, one more original.
Wow, you're right.
Because 9 by our count, by his count, that drops down to 8.
And if one of them doesn't perform, then he's just like, I didn't count.
I used to hate this kid in school, right?
Yeah.
Remember playing wiffle ball or some game, you know, with this kid and they're making up the rules? No, that doesn't count because it bounced off the tree. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, they just change it.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This time it does count because it's an odd inning.
Yeah. You're
like,
right.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
That's like the game in Friends. Now, if I was a good Friends fan like Kayla,
right.
She would be able to tell me real quick the name of the Joey and Chandler make up a game, And it's just funny as hell. Like, there's no actual rhyme or reason to it, but it's good stuff. All right, let me tell you about Eddie Murphy.
Oh, hit me.
Speaking of Netflix.
Whoa. Net what?
Am I going to have to totally rethink my whole attitude about Netflix?
I think everyone keeps saying that.
Everyone keeps saying that I need to rethink my attitude?
Yeah.
What?
They're like, what's up with Penn? Why doesn't he like these Netflix movies? Why doesn't he give them the honor they're due?
You know what it's time for?
What's your problem with Penn?
What's your problem, Penn? You know what my problem is?
What?
Let me tell you what my problem is. Here's my problem. My problem is Netflix keeps making these great movies. I hate it. I want them to suck. Yeah. I want them to just keep making TV shows like they've always done.
Yeah.
But they're making these good movies, and now Eddie Murphy is making a movie called The Dolomite or something like that, and cool. It stars all the great actors from Hollywood.
Oh.
All our favorite all people.
All of them.
Snoop Doggity Dog Dog
my
in the shizzle with the house.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm telling you. I didn't watch the trailer because I was running out of time before you got here, and I didn't realize that the trailer existed. But this movie, Eddie Murphy's making a movie called The Dolomite, and it's going to be in it's going to be in theaters and on Netflix this fall, which re-agitated my agita because, okay, so if I lay down and roll over for The Irishman,
yeah,
and I just take a loss, okay,
right.
I suck, I'm not New York, I'm not LA, I can't get this movie in my
right.
theater, I still have not resolved I need to find the person who's going to tell me, no, you can't get this movie, because I need that person to say, you can't get The Irishman, but we'll give you Dolomite. That not going to happen?
No, I don't know.
You think this game is rigged? Is this rigged? Am I like just now figuring out that this whole thing is already rigged and that Netflix is only going to show it in 6 theaters around the country?
Yeah.
And that's their model for
that's
the rest
gonna, that's
the, every
gonna,
freaking title?
Here's the thing.
I got a problem with this. I got a problem with this.
Oh my
David.
Gosh.
I'm jerked.
You know what the solution is? Just build a bunch of skyscrapers around here and turn this into the new New York, LA.
The newspaper keeps calling us the new Brooklyn.
I mean, we just need the pizza.
I already left Brooklyn once. Now we're going to make me leave again. I won't leave, David.
You know what? Okay, here's why they're making these good movies, right? Because Netflix and all these subscriber guys I forget recently there was an article on it. They've realized that their hit shows are not the route to go. Because you get a lot of subscribers for the first season, but you don't get after the second season, you don't get an uptick of subscribers because everyone who's into it is already there for it. So that's why basically Netflix has said their shows will only run from now on, their shows are only going to run for 2 seasons.
You're killing me.
Yeah. So that's because they're planning it that way because they're in the subscriber game. And if they're making something and it's not bringing in new subscribers, then they're not making more money. So they're switching. You can see they're switching to these higher production films because they can crank they're a lot less production time than a series, and they can crank out more of them and bring more subscriber hits for these. You put them out in a couple theaters, right, and you get a little bit of buzz. You know, I'll go to my thing and we'll have our fingers out while we're drinking our coffee. Have you seen The Irishman?
I can't tell you how much that bothers me.
Yeah?
I can't see straight right now. I see 3 of you because I'm cross-eyed because
right.
my blood is boiling. Because that's so frustrating.
Right.
It's so disrespectful to the movie industry.
Yeah.
I hate it.
I hear you. If you have,
I'm going to go into my sad pose.
Well, we have to take a 30-minute break for Penn to depress for a little while.
Until he bounces back. You know what? It always makes me bounce back.
What's that?
A bunch of trailers.
Oh, yeah.
What's up? Trailer time. Woo, woo, woo. Especially a good animated feature like the Addams Family.
Oh.
You know, we had a kid who worked here named Addams.
Addams?
Yeah. He spelled his name with 2 D's. And I always told him he was the coolest kid because if anything ever happened to one of his D's, he had another one right there ready. Ready for the
ready
go.
To go.
Yep. And every time when he walked into work, I'd see him. He'd be standing there at CHOP. He was one of the best ushers we had.
Yeah.
He's standing there chopping. Every time I saw him, I said, hey, added at him. What's up, man? I'm sure he really loved it.
That was probably the best part of his day. He
probably really looked forward to seeing me.
Yeah, just like the guy I work with who has two R's in Gary. We call him Gary.
And Baba Baba. And Baba.
So Adam's family, what? How'd you like this?
I loved this trailer. Mm. I mean, I'm whatever. It is what it is. It's an animated, fun, you know, kids movie. But I liked this trailer. There's a lot of good sense of humor. I loved the little red balloon, like from It, you know, and the lady was like, usually there's a horrible clown attached to the other end, you know. I thought it was great. I don't know. It looks like fun. I'm not trying to oversell it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it looks like a fun movie.
No, I agree. It looks like a solid kids movie, but I laughed at the trailer. And at the very end, Cousin It, I was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Whose voice is that?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was good. I liked that when Cousin It showed up.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Now, you wanted to talk about...
Continue.
Let me sip from my coffee.
We have a segment we can do if you'll finish your sentence.
You wanted to talk about Mary?
Now, this is how Penn said it.
Oh.
Now, you wanted to talk about Mary?
So the segment is Who Read It Best?
Who Read It Best?
Here's the headline. Who Read It Best? All right.
Then David says, hey, let's talk about Mary, this new Gary Oldman horror film.
Yeah. Wake me up when you're done talking about it. Commissioner Gordon himself.
Gary Oldman gets on a boat with, quote unquote, his family. I don't know.
And Emily Mortimer.
Emily Mortimer. She looks familiar. I can't remember. What else was she in?
She was Mary Poppins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's one of my favorites.
Yeah, she's
very
cool.
Talented.
Very talented. They get on a boat. Is the boat called Mary, or there's a little girl named Mary?
Wait, what are you saying? Are you saying this movie didn't impress you? Huh?
I'm saying no, it didn't impress me. I put it on there to cover everything. All right? The boat is possessed or something. Everyone who takes it to open sea, people go missing.
The girl is named Mary.
The girl is named Mary.
Right. And they're sitting there watching the sun go down. And all of a sudden, she takes her wine glass. Wait, why is she drinking wine? Don't bother
she's like
me
13,
with the
right?
don't bother me with the details.
Yeah.
This little 9-year-old girl takes this sherry glass of wine and just cold
smashes it into dude's face.
No, the mom's face. You got to watch this trailer to see the part where the kid like smashes the glass.
Because you're not expecting it.
Not at all.
I mean, you are now, but. Right.
But even though you're expecting it now, it's still worth seeing.
Yeah.
And the movie looks awful.
It really does look bad.
In my opinion. So we'll definitely get it. I don't know. Gary Oldman, like, what are you doing, buddy? Emily Mortimer, what are you doing? Paycheck? All right.
Yeah, it's got to be paycheck.
Yeah.
Watch it could be like the quintessential horror film of the, the 2019s.
10 years from now, we're going to be talking about some movie, and we're going to be like, well, it's no Mary. But it's pretty good. Yeah. Speaking of iffy, questionable horror movies, this movie Haunt?
Yes.
Come on.
This does not look good.
I'll go a step further. I think this looks bad.
Yeah.
I remember a couple weeks ago, and then again last week, you were talking about, I think you called it superhero fatigue.
Yeah.
A little bit. I 100% have horror fatigue.
Well, yeah. You get it every year at this time.
I'm like done.
The first trailer that comes out for horror of the year, you're like, I think I'm still done from last year.
But you know what happened this year? Correct me if I'm wrong. podcast@penncinema.com. But I think that there were more horror movies this summer than normal.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. It felt like it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, just this week, as we sit here today, I finaled Crawl and Annabelle Comes Home.
Well, it was kind of like how I was talking last week about the gore factor in movies has been turned up. And it's almost like a little bit comical and a little bit more serious. Like, just everything has a little bit more. And it's like, is this a horror film? What's going on here? Like, Zombieland, Ready or Not? Yeah.
Yeah. If I was the team behind It Chapter 2,
yeah,
whew, I would really, I'd be bumming out about all these horror movies.
I think they got it banked.
Oh, they totally have it banked, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Haunt, like, don't waste your time.
No, don't watch the trailer.
Now, here's a movie, Honey Boy.
Yeah. Okay, this one, I was like, is this going straight to video on demand? Is it coming out in theaters? It says it's coming out in theaters at least at some point. Shia LaBeouf plays a father of a young actor.
Wait, back the train up one step. Unlike Netflix, this movie is coming out from Amazon Studios.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And as we discussed on this podcast in previous episodes, Amazon has made it clear that they're pretty committed to the theatrical window.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a high degree of confidence that Honey Boy will see a release in at least Lititz, maybe Huntington Valley, maybe Wilmington.
Okay.
But I think Honey Boy will definitely get a legit theatrical run from Amazon.
Okay.
Now, maybe I'm like Charlie Brown running at the football and Amazon's Lucy, but I don't think so. I think Amazon's going to be good to their word and release this movie in theaters.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks good.
Yeah. Let's talk about the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks good. It's Shia LaBeouf is a father of a child actor.
And he also wrote the movie.
And he's kind of like, it's kind of, you don't know how to feel about the dad. Like, in some ways, like, it looks like he's trying. Right. In other ways, it looks like he's just banking on his kid.
Right.
But.
Could it be both?
Yeah. What was the line in it where, because I watched this a couple days ago, where he's like, do you know what it's like to depend on you to get paid? And then the son's like, something like, without me, you wouldn't get paid or something like that? Yeah, it's more heavy when it happens in the trailer. But
the movie looks really heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a straight-up drama. I think it looks really intense.
And I think it takes place in two time periods. I'm pretty sure, the impression I got is one, him as a kid with his dad, and then him as an adolescent on his own in film.
Yeah.
Like two parallel stories.
I think the movie looks good, and if you want to believe some of the hype is that this is Shia LaBeouf Cake's therapy. You know, it's him sort of cathartic working through, because it's semi-autobiographical.
Yeah, 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 I could see that.
Yeah, so I think that I think that we were talking about his return doing stuff like After Exile with De Niro, and I think that making this movie called Honey Boy might be sort of checking the box, the milestone of something that he had to sort of get out, you know, sort of helps him work through his own, troubled past,
yeah,
if you will, including his rough childhood. So I think it looks pretty great. I'm looking forward to watching it.
Yeah.
Although I'm kind of scared to watch it.
Might be too real.
Might be a little emotional.
Get your tissues ready. All right, so you're going to have to lead on these next three because you put them on the list post.
I waited till I knew you were in the car.
Yeah.
Coming over.
Yeah, so you could guilt me about them.
Okay, so Peanut Butter Falcon, also starring Shia LaBeouf Cake. So this is the third time. This is three for three. We have two trailers and new news stories. So I think we can officially mark our calendars. He's coming back.
Is it officially a beef stew now?
Where's the beef? Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week.
Podcast at PennCinema.com.
Try the veal. What's up? Tip your waitress. Peanut Butter Falcon stars Shia LaBeouf Cake and looks like an incredibly beautiful movie. I don't quite know what to make of this movie. The movie stars Shia LaBeouf. LaBeouf.
Oof.
Mr. Dr. Biopic, he would be able to say LaBeouf.
Oh, Shia LaBeouf.
No, that's Italian. Oh. Hey, come on. Anyway, I'm trying to spit this out. The guy befriends a young man with Down syndrome, and the two of them are sort of on their own little journey, and the kid, the younger guy, wants to be, it's like his dream to be a wrestler, and his pro wrestling name would be Peanut Butter Falcon.
Whoa.
They're like outside and around a campfire, and then he like smears peanut butter on his cheeks, and he's like, I'll be the Peanut Butter Falcon. I mean, I don't know.
I dig the name.
I think so. I think this movie has the potential to also be a little bit emotional,
yeah,
a little bit heavy. But We're going to get it.
Just like Transformers.
Exactly. Exactly. Like Bumblebee. All right. Now, the next one is called, is a horror movie called Don't Let Go, which opens on August 30th. And as per my previous comments about the horror fatigue,
you didn't watch it.
I clicked on this trailer and then I clicked off of this trailer.
Wow.
Because I was like, I just couldn't take like another. Like, I just couldn't. I couldn't do it.
I don't blame you.
I couldn't even watch a trailer.
Wow.
I don't have that many minutes, David.
But you're going to book it.
I'm definitely.
Blindly. I mean, yeah.
Definitely going to book it.
Come on.
What's the matter with you?
I wouldn't miss this.
So I agreed recently to be a speaker at the Red Rose Film Festival.
Whoa.
They're going to have like a little offshoot of like one-offs and like little Q&A with topics that are not necessarily related to making movies, but just ancillary to the movie business.
Right.
And I agreed that I would host a Q&A about booking movies. I'm going to try to sound a lot fancier than I do today.
So when are they going to ask me to do a speech on movie podcasting?
Oh, my God.
Right?
We ought to podcast at the film festival.
That's, dude.
What?
110%.
Did we just become best friends? This is great. Yeah. All right. I'm going to say something to Ryan.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. We should totally do that. All right. So
Red Rose Film Festival just got lucky.
They didn't know what was coming.
They don't even know about it.
We got two guys never milked a cow right here.
What's up?
What's up? That's how you sell it.
All right. The last trailer, there's not a whole lot to say about it, but for It Chapter True, did you not see the final trailer for
It? No, I thought that we had already done it. I didn't know there was another one.
I don't know.
Are you sure this wasn't just a clip?
It was definitely, it was marked It Chapter 2 Final Trailer.
Okay. See, so, I saw one that was just It clip.
Well, I had not seen this trailer, but that doesn't necessarily mean we didn't. This could be like the Greta effect. I might have watched this trailer again thinking it was the first time.
Right.
See, like every day is like a new surprise. When you're Penn, like, it's great.
Yeah. How many steps to Alzheimer's?
Zero. I'm living it, baby. All right. So anyway, the trailer for like whatever. There's not a lot to say about this.
Yeah.
This movie's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it. Whatever.
Yeah. Oh, did you figure what happened with Tenet?
Oh, I didn't figure. I didn't get an answer.
You didn't get an answer.
Yeah.
Jerks.
Actually, that's not true. I did get an answer. But I didn't close the loop.
Oh.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to close the loop, and I will report on our Facebook page.
Okay.
Penn Cinema Podcast Facebook page, because here's what happened. I did download the trailer. I found it and downloaded it. But I was scared to put it on movies until I watched it.
And you haven't done that yet?
I have not watched it yet.
Okay.
I screwed up big time this weekend. And I accidentally put a Red Band trailer on a bunch of PG-13 movies, caused quite a stir.
Oh, my word.
Buddy boy, let me tell you.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, there were some unhappy customers.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, luckily that's easy enough fixed with modern technology, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We got a bunch of rooms and machines. So
yeah,
you can just,
we fixed it.
Just
dark rooms.
Dark
rooms with machines. Anyway, so stay tuned to the Facebook page for Tenet.
Okay, let's move into our review for this week. We're reviewing The Farewell, starring Awkwafina. Not the actual water.
Right.
Yeah. So I heard you saw this movie pretty early this morning.
I did.
Yeah.
There was a 6:30 a.m. screening. I was the only person that showed up.
What?
Yeah.
Crazy.
But luckily I got to pick whatever seat I wanted.
Wow.
Me, my coffee, and my bagel.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much my favorite way to watch a movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. Watching Avengers with you in IMAX was pretty freaking great.
Right.
That was awesome.
But there's something about the time when we watched, like, Man of Steel at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
With bagels and coffee.
Bagels and coffee.
And just chilling out. That
I
was
do
pretty
dig
cool,
that.
Too.
Yeah. I really dig that. Anyway, I watched it this morning. I loved this movie.
Yeah.
I loved this movie.
Did you, though? Because before we started recording, you said, I was let down by this movie.
What?
Yeah, you're sitting right over there. I'm pointing at the couch. And he said, hey, I was let down by The Farewell. And I said, really?
No.
Yeah.
I must have been joking. I must have thought we were talking about something else. We're sitting here setting up. I'm only half paying attention.
Right.
I stand by my current position, which is that I really enjoyed this movie.
Right.
I don't know why. I would never have said that. I had no reservations about this
movie.
I was
surprised. You were like, I was disappointed by it.
No, not at all.
Could you mean the performance?
No. Oh, that's what it was.
Okay.
Yes, right. David. That's okay. Exactly what we were talking about. We were talking about the box office financial performance of the movie.
Okay.
I was surprised. I expected this movie to be sort of at the top of our, you know, we this weekend we played 14 different titles.
Yeah.
And I was expecting The Farewell to be in the top three or four. You know, you got some of the blockbusters like Lion King, Scary Stories, Fast and the Furious. I knew those would be your top three titles. I thought that The Farewell would come in fourth or fifth, compete with Art of Racing in the Rain, compete with Once Upon a Time, because this movie made headlines during its limited release. And you may remember one of the headlines was, remember we said it's kind of a gimmick, but it's also like a positive indicator. The gimmick was that it had a higher per theater average than Avengers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But of course it was only playing in like 20 theaters or four theaters or some ridiculous thing. So anyway, I was not at all disappointed with the film. I was surprised that this movie was ninth in our in our location.
I got to be honest. I was surprised when I saw how often it was playing.
Yeah.
I was like, he's putting some bank in this, because it was like, what, at least two theaters?
It wasn't in two theaters, but it definitely had six or seven shows. So it played clean in one theater, plus I added some extra shows.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I definitely put my chips on this movie
and
was let down. You know, from the business side of it, I was let down by the movie.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Okay.
But in terms of me sitting there with my coffee watching this movie, I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
So what are the, like, what would you say were some of the high tones for you?
Did you see this movie?
I did not. Dang it. I was not feeling well this weekend, and yesterday I was like, I gotta get myself out of bed and go see this movie.
I put all these extra show times just for you.
And then,
so there'd be tons of choices for you.
And then Penn texts me and he says, hey, would you be all right with recording on Monday? And I was like, that works great for me. And I just did not get out of bed.
Still, even though we gave you a whole extra day.
I was not doing it.
All right, so this is great. This is great because I can say whatever I want about this movie. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
Well, you said you were disappointed with it.
I was disappointed by the financial performance. The film itself is fantastic. So the daughter, played by Awkwafina,
right.
I think everybody knows the premise. The grandma is diagnosed with some horrible lung cancer, stage 4 lung cancer.
Right.
And the family decides not to tell the grandma.
Right.
And then they make up an excuse. They don't make up an excuse, but there's a wedding over in China. So the family from New York flies over to China under the pretext of attending this wedding, but really it's so that everybody can tell grandma they love her and sort of get ready for the end. And it is a beautiful movie without being it doesn't try too hard, you know, to be weepy and you know, it definitely pulls at your heartstrings and it definitely is a touching movie, but it's not trying to like make you cry or anything. It's just very real, very moving, beautifully shot. The acting, of course, is amazing. And then, you know, I don't want to spoil the movie. So I'll just say, like, the plot is, it's a great plot.
Do you think it's Oscar contention?
I thought so before I saw it. You know when they, like, Saturday Night Live does a great job of making fun of this. You know when people have, like, their Oscar bait scene, you know, and it's like this crazy intense moment, they're screaming and crying and shaking and, you know, and it's like they call it Oscar bait. I'm not sure what Awkwafina's moment would be.
Oh,
like she's walking up there to get an Oscar and they play what out of this movie?
Okay.
What scene do they play? There's a few intense scenes, and don't get me wrong, her acting is perfect. I mean, there's I don't take anything away from her acting, but because the movie didn't try too hard, which I say it as a good thing, because the movie didn't try too hard, she didn't have any like crazy emotional scenes. But the cumulative performance, I thought, was amazing. I hope she gets a nomination. One thing she has already gotten is a whole new level of credibility as an actress.
Oh.
So she's known for all these funny movies.
Yeah.
Crazy Rich Asians was sort of her big breakout role, but she was on Saturday Night Live, and she's a comedian, and she has absolutely secured herself a position as a serious actor.
Okay.
So that's good. And yeah, I recommend the movie to anybody. The movie, if I had to sum it up in one sentence, I would say it's about family.
Just like... just like Fast and Furious.
Let the record show. I will never review a movie by myself again.
Oh my gosh.
I'm trying to give you a real...
Look at me with a straight face who goes... It's about family, and all I hear is
Vin Diesel.
It's about family.
Just like Terminator.
Oh my gosh. So let me... I can't get over that.
The problem is, that's exactly like
it's the truest thing
you could say about this movie.
I'm going to see this movie. I do want to see it. I was not feeling well this weekend, and I just wasn't able to do it. But the plan was, I devised a plan with some others. You just read me too easily, but I was gonna play the playoff and give you the plot to White Christmas and see how long I could go before you were like, what?
It would have been great if neither one of us saw the movie. And we were trying to fake the other.
I sent a text off when you were like, it's been a long day. I was here at 6:30 to make sure I saw this movie for you. And I was like, bury me in the sacred place.
I'm much more forgiving than you are.
I
missed a movie and you acted like I committed some kind of crime.
Yeah, but here's the difference.
Tell me.
Right? You're here every day.
Yeah, but when I'm done working, sometimes I just want to go home.
I know. I mean, I feel that. But I also feel like, as the head honcho boss man,
You
could be like, hey, part of my duties today is to watch this movie in the middle of the day.
Totally. And
right?
I do that sometimes.
Right.
And you're right.
Yeah.
And it is interesting. It's an interesting part of my job. And I'm being totally serious here.
I know.
It's an interesting part of my job. That there are definitely some times when I feel obligated to watch a movie that other people are looking forward to, like for weeks looking forward to seeing this movie, and they're going to come and spend their hard-earned money to see it.
Because you need
and
to know.
I'm like... okay. Now, don't get me wrong. That was not the case with The Farewell. I was really looking forward to seeing this movie.
Right.
So I did not feel obligated. It was not like work. But it is funny working, you know, in my job and feeling sometimes obligated. All right.
So we kind of glazed over the weekend recap. Was there anything to add to that?
No, I think we talked about it when you pinned me down on my disappointing.
Let's get into some listener notes. Last week, we were talking about Lupita Nyong'o. I tried. I didn't just fake
it. I think we can just call her Lupita.
Yeah, let's just call her Lupita. And we were like, she's in that new zombie movie that we were kind of on board with. And
what was it called again? Field Trip or something?
Something. It's about the kids and the zombies. And the zombies and the kids. Yeah. And you know what?
Hey, oh.
but we were like, she was in Star Wars? What? I don't remember her in Star Wars. Pirate Dave wrote us in, and he says she was Maz Kanata.
Now, let me ask you a direct question. David.
Yes. Go on.
All right. Let me ask you a direct question.
Yeah.
David.
I love saying your name like that because it brings me back to like Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you a direct question. When Pirate Dave wrote in and said that Lupita played Maz Kanata, did that mean anything to you? Like, did you know what that was?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I know who she is. She's been in 2 Star Wars movies.
Okay. You're a pretty hardcore Star Wars fan. I can tell by your shirt.
I'm totally wearing a Star Wars shirt because I'm fighting.
Fighting what, David?
How the Last Jedi killed Star Wars for me. Someone today told me, they were like, I watched my first Star Wars. And I was like, which one? They're like, the newest one, The Last Jedi. Watched it with my wife. And I said, I'm sorry. And they were like, yeah, it wasn't the greatest. And I said, I think that
I feel movie bad for you.
Almost
feel,
killed Star Wars for
I
me.
Feel bad for you. I have sympathy for you. I have pity for you. Because the fact that you are unable to just enjoy a great movie.
Have you seen my pinky? It's definitely out when I'm drinking my tea.
Yes.
Pardon.
All right, so you knew who Maz Kanata was.
Yeah, she's like, she has the bar in The Force Awakens that they go to.
Okay.
That Han and Finn and Chewbacca go to. And then in The Last Jedi, she's only on like a video recorder. Like, they talk to her about their plan. Yeah.
But you knew that when he said that. You didn't have to look that up.
Right. I knew who, as soon as he said Maz, I knew who she was.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
He also had photos there, so it was like.
Still was a blank for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm not a detail guy, David.
I mean, apparently. Wow. I'm going to have to get you a toy. Go with the rest of your Star Wars toys.
Yeah. Like, all those Star Wars toys that you were naming?
Yeah.
I couldn't
you would have known.
I named Luke and Han and C-3PO and R2-D2, and that's, like, it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Chewie. I knew Chewie and Darth Vader.
People were cringing during that, apparently. They were like, can't believe you couldn't remember the names faster. I was like, you weren't even there. You don't know how fast it was. I could have cut 3 minutes out or stretched it. Yeah. All right.
I love that people are giving you shit for that. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So the Mystery Gobble hit us up.
Yeah. I love this one because he reported that Disney flushes Fox movies.
Mm.
Yeah. And then what was the point of his email? Was he calling us out for being wrong, or was he giving us props for being right?
I thought it was props for being right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose to believe that's what it was.
Right.
Problem is, I don't remember what we said.
Yeah, I got that too. Also, you never quite know with the Mystery Guy.
Oh, he's a mystery.
Does he support us or is he against us?
No, he's 100% on our side. 100% on our side.
Yeah.
But he's got a wry sense of humor, that one.
Yeah.
You know, he's a funny dude.
But it's funny because I was having a conversation this week. And I was like, we were talking about how they're saying that Doctor Strange is going to be Marvel's first horror film.
Yeah.
Quote unquote horror.
Right.
And we were going back and forth about it, and I was like, but the real first one was New Mutants that was made and finished, and then Fox never released it, and Disney bought Fox, and it's just out there.
And that's one of the ones that got flushed.
Yeah, yeah. They were just like, no. I'm so curious as to how bad that movie was that they're not even video on demanding it. They're just like, nope.
I got another email today from another Disney executive.
Yeah.
Telling everyone how great it's been knowing them. Thanks for our time together. See ya.
Oh.
Yep. So yeah, that merger continues to take people's jobs.
Wow.
Which I'm not trying to, like, whatever. They'll land on their feet.
Happen.
There's other jobs. Yeah. And that's normal. But it is interesting, even all the way down here at my level, that you can see some of the shakeup. So I can't imagine what it would be like to be one of these, like, legit executives.
Right.
Yikes.
Pressure.
Flush away.
All right. So what have you been watching or reading this week?
I had a good week.
Oh, did you have a good week?
Well, I feel a little bit guilty now that I'm about to read this out loud, but...
Yeah. Yeah, please. Please go on.
I don't think I want to go on anymore. And I'm Penn. Take care and party on. See you next week.
What's this here? The first one.
All right. Here's what happened.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop watching Stranger
Things. You addict.
Yes, touche, my friend.
Yes.
Yes.
Here's
the thing. You said a mouthful there.
Thank God you released me of any, like, any holding myself back.
Right.
Weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because then I would have been like, how dare you?
Because I know myself. I knew that I would never be able to just stop.
So Stranger Things.
That's not something I do.
Yeah. Yeah, you just press on.
I don't stop.
So what do you think?
So I don't think we've said what I did. I finished Stranger Things.
Okay.
Season 3. Yeah. Finished season 3 of Stranger Things. I loved it. I agreed with Marley's bumper sticker. Hopper deserved better. I wonder if there's a chance that he comes back in season 4.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a chance that he's in the Upside Down.
Well, I guess people...
I don't think there is, but I'm sort of saying, like, it could happen.
Well, so when they showed the Upside Down, there was a ladder on the other side of the wall.
Oh, I missed that.
On the other side of the gate. One. And then two, people are theorizing when they say, no, not the American. In the stinger.
Yeah.
That he's the American.
Uh-huh. That would make
sense. That they pulled out.
Oh, so the Russians pulled Hopper out.
Along with the Demogorgon.
Yeah.
So...
Okay. Another weird new series, The Family on Netflix.
Okay. What's this about?
Well, I was hoping you were going to tell me. I can't tell. So right from the opening scene, you can tell that some of it is reenactment. But I can't tell if it's all fiction and it's trying to be like almost like The Office, where it's like a mockumentary. Like, okay. If they're using real footage to make it look like a historical thing, or if it's really talking about like this crazy Christian family that like secretly rules the world.
Oh.
So I started watching it, but then I flipped over to watch Arrested Development and watched a bunch more seasons of that.
Yeah.
And then also me and Kayla watched Pretty in Pink, continuing our summer of John Hughes.
Oh.
We both really enjoyed it, but we still felt as though Ferris Bueller is still our top John Hughes movie.
Wow.
Well, that's what we're doing.
You don't have much more time with these girls before they get back to the schooling.
Stop it.
What's going on? What are you going to do?
I'm going to cram in as many John Hughes movies as possible.
You got to get on it.
Yeah.
Get on it. All right. So my week was a little bit less. I was listening to a show called How Did It Get Made a couple times this week.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of it? It's a podcast.
Yeah. I've listened to it many times. Mostly because Amy loves it.
Yeah.
So we've been on long car trips and...
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's real funny. So came across it this week. We'll listen to a couple episodes. Pretty good. Totally on board. Also, the Beef Network podcast. It's like 12 minutes long and they're ridiculous. They were pretty funny. It's a comedy thing where they're all about beef, but then they talk to people who aren't related to beef, like guys who are landing on Mars, and they're just like, so I think we'll find cattle on there. like, are we going to send any cows to the moon? Like, the fifth meat up there? Yeah, anyway. So that's pretty funny. It's only like 12 minutes long. But I awoke from my
dreams
late Sunday night, and I got myself a pizza. And I was like, well, now I'm awake because I've been sleeping all weekend. What am I going to do with my time?
Yeah. Oh, maybe I could catch the late farewell down at Penn Cinema.
Maybe.
Or
I could start The Boys.
Tell me.
And I'm a bit torn on this show. And I say I'm a bit torn, but I'm also 6 episodes in after one sitting. There are things about it that I really like. And then one of the things I guess I kind of don't like is there's no good guy, if that makes any sense. Like, none of the characters are inherently, like, well, there's only one, but, like, none of the plot lines are inherently about someone doing something good. It's all about, like, either people who are just corrupted by their own power or out for vengeance.
Huh.
Or caught in their own schemes of vengeance. Do you know anything about this?
I mean, I'm familiar with it. I haven't started it.
Yeah. Premises that there's like superheroes, but they're all corporatized, and that like there's two plots. There's one, like, a girl joins the Seven, which is like the Justice League. America has over 200 superheroes, and this company like sells them out to cities.
Pimps them out.
Pimps them out to cities. And the superheroes are like a brand. And then there's the Seven, which are like the Justice League. And she wants to be a part of them. She gets in and finds out that like all their crimes are kind of staged. It's all about branding and everything. It's not really about crime fighting.
Right.
And then meanwhile, the Supes are so powerful and everything, they don't even realize like what the damage they do. And so then there's like the boys who are these guys out to get revenge for like stuff that so like the opening premise is that there's a guy standing with his girlfriend holding her hands, and their version of the Flash, he's standing there and she just disappears, and then a splash of blood hits him on the side of his face, and the guy that's the Flash just like ran through her and disintegrated her, and he looks down and he's just got her hands in his hands. And it's like kind of comical, kind of like that weird comedy gore type thing.
Like Suicide Squad, sort of?
Yeah, ish. A little bit. Yeah.
Probably better.
Yes, definitely better. So it's a weird kind of like scenario. At the same time, totally captivating, and I'm kind of like, I want to know what happens next, but at the same time, I'm never quite satisfied.
Yeah.
So, The Boys. Check it out.
You gave me a great idea.
Not for Kayla.
You gave me a great idea, though.
Yeah.
We should do a daily Penn Cinema podcast.
A daily Penn Cinema
podcast? Daily. 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Uh-huh. Go on.
Yes.
And that's all I got. How are we going to logistically do it?
I'll call you.
Okay.
It'd be all like broken up and staticky and crappy.
What? I'm in the car.
I like the idea of that beef podcast, like 12 minutes long. It sounds hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's not like the funniest thing you ever heard, but it's only 12 minutes.
So I mean, it's no Penn Cinema podcast.
Right. It doesn't outstay its welcome.
Right.
Like, just when you're like, okay.
It's probably not popular with the vegans.
No. Probably not.
If I had to guess.
So, all right. So what are we reviewing next week?
Well, we got a lot to choose from. Next week, we have a lot of titles coming out.
Yeah.
As we sit here today, we're about to start the Monday night sneak peek of Blinded by the Light.
Okay.
Which opens on Friday. Also, Where'd You Go, Bernadette opens on Thursday night.
Right.
I think that looks interesting. 47 meters under the sea or beneath it, something like that. This is a funny one because it's a sequel to a movie that was so shitty we didn't play the first one. But the first one got an audience.
Really?
And it did some business. So I don't know. I'm not above it. Yeah, I'll play the sequel. You bet. Okay. Come on in. It's like 10 minutes long. 47 leagues under the sea or something like that.
Okay.
Blinded by the Light, Good Boys, and Angry Birds 2.
I thought Good Boys opened already.
Good Boys, yeah. You tried to tell me it opened last week. And I corrected you last week.
Okay.
Greta. So, and then Angry Birds.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'm game for either Blinded by the Light or Where'd You Go, Bernadette.
What is Blinded by the Light about?
That's the one with the Bruce Springsteen lyrics.
Oh, you told me that before, too.
Guy. Yes.
I don't want to see that movie.
Okay.
So I guess we're going with
Bernadette. Good Boys? Bernadette looks more interesting. Good Boys is going to make more news. Or we could just totally.
You got a coin?
We could go all in on 47 meters.
Yeah. We need a coin.
All right. I got a coin.
All right.
All right. Here we go.
Okay. So
heads I win, tails you lose.
Okay. Well, what you're going for Bernadette, and I'm going for bad boys, good boys.
You're going for good
all boys. The boys.
Oh, so we should just mark it.
Yeah.
Good Boys on this side, Bernadette on this side.
All right.
And you didn't get my joke, did you?
What?
The heads I win, tails you lose.
No. What was that joke from?
It's from everything.
Everything.
Nobody ever played that joke on you?
Heads I win, tails you lose?
Yeah. All right, next time you really care and you're trying to flip a coin to decide something and you really care about it.
You always do heads because it's going
to
land on.
No, you say to the other guy, heads I win, tails you lose, because then no matter what happens, you win. Are you not processing this?
Heads I win.
Right.
Oh, okay. I get it now. Wow.
It took him a minute.
It took a second.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Moulton in the house.
Baron Von, Dr. Biopic was
Mr.
not here.
Mr. Dr. Biopic was off his game today. I could tell you're not feeling well. Yeah. I could have really gotten you on anything totally. Right there. Yeah. So that joke is old. I mean, I've been telling that joke since I was 8 years old. But it also makes its appearance in Friends.
Really?
Yeah, there's a great scene in there where Rachel is tricking Joey. And then
never heard of that show.
And then even after Rachel explains it to Joey, he still doesn't.
Well, color me Joey.
Color me Joey. All right. Tails is Good Boys and Heads is... Okay. Where'd you go?
This is an authentic coin.
This is a good coin. It's like a quarter or something.
What?
It fell. Heads. Bernadette.
Bernadette.
But I don't care. I mean...
No, we'll watch it. Well, I mean, we let it up to fate.
All right, Kate Blanchett, here we come. Tune in next week for our incredibly insightful review towards Where'd You Go, Bernadette? And I will at least see it, so I'll share with you my my insights.
Okay, Buster Brown. I still think you've got a couple more knocks up than I do about not seeing a movie.
I definitely have seen less than you have. You still have. This is your first one, right? Is this your first miss?
It might be. If you don't count last week where we saw different movies.
That was my fault, though. That wasn't...
At the most, it's number two.
All right, and I'm in double digits already. I've missed like 26 of the 29.
You lied your way through most of these episodes.
That's not true. That's not true.
No, you're good.
The ones that I've missed, I've owned.
The time you almost watched.
I've never reviewed a movie that I haven't seen. On this podcast. I do it in the lobby all the time.
What was the fabled movie that we walked through, like, the whole thing, and then you were like, oh, yeah, I didn't watch it at the end.
I forget.
I don't know.
But it was great.
All right. Well, if you want to find us on the lines, on the internets, find us at facebook.com/PennCinemaPodcast.
The Penn Cinema
the
Podcast.
The Penn Cinema Podcast. Yeah. A lot of interaction up there. So definitely you want to hit that up if you're a Facebook.
And we love it when you write us.
Yeah.
We love it when you give us 5-star reviews.
Yeah.
No 5-star reviews this week.
No. Podcast at PennCinema.com. Tell us anything you want. Whatever.
Ask us anything.
Ask us anything. That's an open book.
That is.
Ask us. It doesn't even have to be about movies. Just ask us questions.
You can ask me what my book is that I'm publishing in September.
Oh, my word.
Or what race I'm running at the end of October.
Wow.
Or you could ask me what I think about Where'd You Go, Bernadette?
Yeah. You can ask me about my Starfleet regulation beard.
What's up? I also saw The Kitchen. We didn't talk about that.
Oh, snap.
So you can ask me what I thought about The Kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Still have a thing going out for that. If you can make Penn laugh, tickets to the IMAX. Nobody took you up on that week. We had two the first week and then kind of dried up. So definitely hit us there for that. Anything else that I'm missing there?
I think we're good.
Yeah, cool. So once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cut.